Well, good afternoon. Well, in June of 2004, a couple of young, ambitious, naive, and we'll maybe even say dumb, which ended up being a great character trait, and we like to now refer to that as being teachable. Well-intentioned young men felt God calling them back to Kokomo to save the youth of Howard County. And Travis and I had big dreams and big visions of what this was going to look like. We had a building we wanted to buy. And so Bridges Outreach was birthed. And we moved back home after graduating from college. And we thought we had it all figured out. And it didn't take long for God to kind of slap us in the face and say, you guys are not in the driver's seat in this situation. And the building we thought we were going to buy and have this ministry running out of it for the next 100, 200 years after we were long gone, that deal fell through. And we were crushed. We, to be honest, weren't super excited about coming back to Kokomo. Travis's wife was from Cleveland. She wanted to move back home. I was a young, single bachelor with friends moving to Chicago and Florida and had all these great places I could be going. So we're kind of questioning, God, you brought us back here. We thought to do this, and we've been promising this community we're going to have something for these kids, and what's going on here? And just as quickly as he closed that door and reminded us who was in charge, he began to provide and open other doors. And through a group of men, several who are here in this room, we were really encouraged to stick this mission through and to keep plugging along and really feeling that God was in the midst of this. And the story is, through different experiences that Travis is going to talk a little bit about in a second, God just put a burden and a passion on our hearts for at-risk, inner-city, kind of disenfranchised youth. And we came back home wanting to make a difference in the lives of those kids. And through some relationships we developed, we eventually got some free office space donated to us downtown, which was huge because we were originally working out of the library and our houses. We were too poor to have internet at home, so we had to use the library as our original office. And so first we get an office to kind of call home and kind of a headquarters. And then through a relationship that we kind of developed and established through something called See You at the Pole, a public school in Kokomo Center Schools opened their doors to us and said, hey, if you need space, we have space. But good luck getting kids to stay after 2 hours after school. They've been here long enough. They want to get the heck out of here. And we said, you know, let us kind of worry about that, and we'll see how that goes. I think God's going to take care of that. So on January 18th of 2005, we kick off our very first day of Bridges Outreach. And we had no clue what we were doing, to be honest. 48 kids come walking through the door, and we're just astounded. Don't know what to do. It's about 40 more kids than we expected. So that got things rolling. And from the very beginning, God continued to show us that it's not about numbers, it's not about programs, but it's about those relationships. And Travis is going to talk for a second about kind of about our relationship and our story and kind of how that fits into the bigger picture of what Bridges is doing.
Yeah, Case was sharing about Bridges the last 5-6 years, but God's had this in store long before then. Me and Casey are actually best friends. We've known each other since we were little. If you go to our mom's houses, you'll see pictures of us with our Oshkosh B'gosh overalls on, feeding ducks at Highland Park. And the sad thing is, even 30 years ago, when you look at that picture, you could tell that Casey was going to have good hair and I was going to be bald. They haven't changed. But as our theme this semester of iron sharpening iron, we hope and believe that's where we're at now. But me and Casey in middle school was more like wood trying to sharpen wood. And if you can rub wood together all you want, and it's not going to get any sharper. Like most middle and high school boys, our world kind of revolved around sports and girls. I'm thankful for that friendship that we had, but we're always honest with people that God, we knew about God and we kind of had him in our pocket, but he was not Lord of our lives. And there's a big difference. When I, halfway through college, God really got a hold of my life and told me, I need you to quit school and I need you to go to the west side of Chicago and live in the hood for a year. And I decided to do that, and I thought I was just giving God a year, and I ended up giving him my life. And when I came back, Casey was working at the Boys and Girls Club in Anderson, and like he said, there's just so many youth, so much need, and God birthed in us a passion to care and to be with youth. And that's important because a lot of times I think people look at their gifts and think, what am I good at? That's what I'm going to do. And I don't think God always works like that. I think God says, you give me yourself and I'll show you what you're going to do. If it was up to me, I'd be in this gym coaching and playing basketball. That was my first love. That's what I was passionate about. But God had other things in store, and now running bridges and being with those kids has filled my heart, and I thank God for that. The mentoring model that a lot of people talk about is having a Paul and having a Timothy and kind of pouring into one another. But I really like the iron sharpens iron even more than that. Because the other model, it's kind of like someone's on top, someone's on bottom, someone's in charge or pouring into the other one. Where I like the iron sharpens iron because it's dual and it's peer. And there's times when, yeah, one of them might be stronger than the other, but they're rubbing together all the time. And there's so many examples in the Bible of when this happened. We can look at Caleb and Joshua when they were spying on the promised land and having to go against the giants and how they had each other driving one another. We can look at Jonathan and David and the issues they had with Saul and some of the battles that they had to fight. They made it because they had each other. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I couldn't imagine going into a fiery furnace, but I bet having two brothers go through that furnace with them made it doable, made it something that they could do. And it doesn't talk about if they were sharpening one another, but looking at Daniel, I bet they had a relationship that helped one another stay strong if one of them was weak. And that's what Case has been in my life, and that's what I've hopefully been in his life. There's been times when one of us has had to been pulled up by the other. We've known each other so long, now we can mentor each other without even talking. I came up with an idea at Bridges that would have made it a little bit easier on me, but wasn't in the best interest of our kids. And Case gave me a look that put me right in my place, and I knew you're right. And that's iron sharpening iron. So what I want to ask you guys is, are you sharpening anyone? And are you sharpening anyone? And is anyone sharpening you?
So we made it through that first year at Bridges. And that first year, our expectations were blown out of the water. God provided way more than we ever could have imagined. And we averaged just over 35 kids a day that first year. And we took kids to summer camp, and lives were changed, and God was moving. And so we said, well, this apparently is for real. I guess we need to start getting an actual like board of directors and come up with a mission statement. And so our mission at Bridges, excuse me, is to connect and bridge communities, churches, and schools. And we do that through programming that mentors, tutors, and feeds youth. And we do that with the hopes of developing each one of our kids socially, academically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we had a goal at the beginning to add a program every year. And we're happy to say that to this day, we now have five programs. And we actually had more last year than five, but with Kokomo Center Schools consolidating, we got rid of two programs. Same number of kids, but less programs. And through all of that, God continued to come alongside us by providing resources, by providing people, by providing the kids, and providing us with the necessary skills and abilities to lead and to put each piece of that puzzle together. That first year, we served 65 different kids throughout that year. This past year, we served over 620 kids through all of our programs. And I'll tell you, we are not a numbers kind of a group. We really couldn't care less about numbers. But to us, that continues to remind us that God is in what we're doing. And that He is continuing to expand the outreach that we have in the community. And now we are kind of in the process of revisioning and thinking, man, we've been pouring into these kids for almost 6 years now. Is it time that we look beyond our kids and start to look at their families? And it's been a huge blessing and really cool for us to see how Bridges has become a part of the community at large. And while we weren't super excited about moving back to Kokomo after college, we both now are extremely passionate about this community. And we are really excited to see how Bridges is going to fit into all of this really cool stuff that's going on in the community of Kokomo, like Huddle and like the Great Banquet, and all of these different ways that God is transforming and moving in our community. It thrills us to be a part of that. And thinking, a big passage, one of my favorite passages out of the Bible is James 1:27 that says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure is to look after widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And when we were in there praying before we came out, Chuck said something that I love as he was praying for us. And he said, break our hearts. And one of my favorite, I'm a huge Hillsong United fan. If those of you that follow much Christian music, they're this kind of a contemporary worship band to me, like the only worship band there is right now. But one of my favorite songs, they have a line in there that says, break my heart for what breaks yours, everything I am for your kingdom, Lord. And what if we, as the Christian community, really began to live like that? And a piece of what we are looking forward to doing it with our kids and their families in this community is really hitting on those injustices. We see so many injustices and improprieties that our kids experience on a daily basis. And what if the Christian community would look at that and say, man, me seeing that kid going through that is breaking God's heart. Should it be breaking mine? And then what do I do about that? How do I become a piece of that puzzle to change that? And to be honest, we've been to a conference that a lot of the stuff that they talk about, community development, is bigger than what Kokomo needs. But we are so blessed to have men and people in our lives that are pouring into us and are mentoring us and kind of helping us to shape who we are and who Bridges is. And Travis is going to share a little bit about some of those guys and those groups.
Yeah, so many times people say, look what God did through two young men in Kokomo. And me and Casey laugh because if you only knew the half of it, it's not two young men. First and foremost, we want to thank Huddle. We actually started about the same time as Huddle, up in the fourth floor with the mirrored room, and when there was only about six tables up there. And I remember making the move down to the small table, and I remember the school kind of giving us some pushback as we started Bridges about just making us go through all these hoops. And I remember just breaking down one day in the back corner, and I remember Mr. Butcher putting his arm around me and sharpening me just a little. And then I remember as we were putting our board together, people like Jim Klaus and Tom Bennett and Chuck and Ron Harper sharpening us into teaching us what we needed to become. Now we look at our board now and Hardy and Larry Rowland and Jeff Zolman, and we see these men that are sharpening us as we kind of take Bridges to the next level. And Casey wasn't lying when he said we were young, dumb, and naive. We were. I mean, the only characteristics that we had is we were faithful and we trusted God. But after that, we didn't have anything else. And so many times, it ended up being our hugest blessing because we didn't. Yeah, we know kids. You throw us in the gym. That's our sanctuary. We can take hundreds of kids and we can do things together. You throw me in a boardroom with some directors. What am I supposed to do? We're talking about best practices for Bridges. What's all that about? And how to raise money? Not us. I mean, we're just a couple of jocks that like playing slow pitch softball. We don't know anything about a budget. But God throws people in your life to mold you, and since we didn't know anything, we listened. And that might be the hugest factor of iron sharpening iron, is being teachable and being flexible and being open to be sharpened by another man. And whether it's pride or whatever that gets in the way of a man's heart from that, we really need to take a deep look at that today and see, is there something that's keeping me from being sharpened by other men? Is it something in my life, some roadblock that isn't making me humble or me teachable? And the great thing about today, and we appreciate Huddle inviting us up and talking about this, they are all about being practical. And Case is going to talk about a few extremely practical ways that a group of men in Kokomo can start changing our community.
Yeah, so earlier I mentioned that God revealed to us pretty early that it's not about the programs that we run or how many kids we have. Because to be honest with you, a program is not going to make a difference in a kid's life. And a program is not going to keep a kid coming back to Bridges. And he showed us early on that it is way more about those relationships that we develop and using those relationships to talk to them about the transformational power of Jesus Christ, and that a God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. And to challenge our kids to say, you know, John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But that Jesus came so that we can have life and have it to the fullest. And so much of what our kids experience is not that. And to use those relationships to say, this is what God desires for you. And this is what God has in store for you. And it's about those stories that we get through those relationships. And this part's even going to be harder for me to say. We have been so blessed to have a group of kids that were there our very first year and have stayed committed to Bridges and what we're doing.
and two of them are here today. And one of them is now working with others as a staff person. And to see him grow from where he was as an eighth grader to where he is today and the way that God has moved in his life, and that now he is pouring back into our kids. The kids, the spot that he was in just 6 years ago is so awesome for us to see. And then the other young man is involved in a group that we've recently started with the handful of college students that we have that are still here. We realized we were kind of missing the ball with them, and we couldn't just kind of leave them on their own. So now on Sunday nights, we're basically having church either at one of their apartments or at one of our houses. And to see those kids, and they're all kids that have been with us since their 7th or 8th grade year. So we're talking 5 or 6 years. And to see the way that God is moving in their lives, it reminds us of why we do this and why we're here. And then to think about the story of a young man who is now a freshman in college and broke down to me more than once just about how difficult life has been for him and how every older male in his family is in jail for dealing drugs or for buying drugs or for whatever, and how easy it would have been for him to go down that path and how he refused to let that become who he was. And he now is doing awesome. The first kid in his family to enroll in college. He's holding down a full-time job. Those are the stories that we love to hear and that we love to share. And then to have opportunities like we have had the last 2 weekends with some of our students, being a part of a Blush event last weekend, and then an all-nighter at Crossroads 2 weeks ago where our brother Zoe kind of shared his story with our kids and just broke some of their hearts, and God just worked them over that night. And to have those opportunities to just wrap our arms around them and to pray with them and to tell them that God loves them and has huge dreams and huge visions for them is why we do it. And our challenge to you is that you can be a part of that. We have a program that we started a few years ago called Project 30. And Project 30 is a mentoring program where we match up adults one-on-one with an elementary, starting with elementary, and now we have some middle school. And we now have over 250 adults working with almost 300 kids. And I want any of you that are in here that are a Project 30 mentor, because I know there are several, if you'd be willing to stand up. These men have already decided to make a difference and to say there are too many, especially young boys, going through life without a father figure. And so I'm going to stand in there and fill that gap as best I can. And our challenge to you is to get involved. And Travis is going to talk a little bit more about it here in just a second. But whether it's with us, whether it's with your neighborhood or your church or your community, get involved somewhere. Stand in the gap for some of those young men that do not have that father figure to stand in the gap for them. So Travis is just going to share about what we think mentoring should look like and how excited we are about some of these possibilities.
We did a little survey with our kids at Bon Air last year, and I asked them how many of them live with their mom and their dad at home, and it was less than 20% of those kids were with mom and dad at home. And we've had 17 students kind of graduate high school that have been a part of Bridges, and all 17 of them have enrolled into college. One's going to Indiana Wesleyan, one's going to IUPUI. 7 years ago, those were those kids. Their stats aren't much different than the kids that we're working with now. But it was because of staff and mentors and people that Bridges put into their life that showed them hope, showed them the way, and pointed them to Christ. And one thing we want to encourage people is it starts at home. If dads took care of their boys, Bridges would probably be half the size that it is now. The Bible tells us a lot to take care of orphans and widows, because there's a reason that they're orphans and widows. He doesn't really tell us a lot to take care of other people's kids. And there's a lot of men in Kokomo who are in jail or just don't care. And it's our job to raise those kids. And if their dads aren't going to step in there, we need your help. Case talked about the boys. It's almost just as disheartening talking about the girls. They don't know what love is. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. They have never had a man even hug them or tell them that they appreciate them. So we need your help, and we believe it starts at home. So many times, one of the first things that men, we tell our kids at Bridges, and I imagine you've told your sons and your daughters, it's important who you hang around with. Your friends determine your destiny. Be careful with the friends that you choose. Well, we want to tell the men in here, if your sons and daughters looked at you, what kind of grade would you get in that area? Yeah. Are your friends people that are sharpening you? Me and Casey are super blessed to have this college group that's just unbelievable. I mean, we can't do anything but thank God for men in our life that keep us accountable, that pour into us, that push us, that challenge us. And it's not just college people. We've come here and we've built that network here in Kokomo too. Like I said earlier, wood can't sharpen wood. If you're going to sharpen someone, you need to be iron. And what we need is more iron men, pounding each other, challenging each other, rubbing and sharpening one another. We look at Paul and Silas. When they got arrested, they're in the jail cell singing and praying, rubbing one another, iron sharpening iron. I can't imagine being in jail singing hymns and singing praise, but if I had a brother in there with me in jail, I bet together that might be something that we do. You look at Timothy and Paul and how Timothy was called a co-worker, a co-server. Paul even said, there is no one like him. In Philippians 2:19, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive the news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself. He's a son, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. Can people say that about you? That you put others' interests ahead of your own, that you're genuine, that you're proven. And we can look at that model to start pouring into the men and the boys and the girls in Kokomo. And just two ways, we're going to keep it super simple, two ways to become, I feel like, iron that sharpens iron is, one, we've already talked about it, be teachable, but two, be committed. It's easy to find friends. It's real easy to know a lot of guys. It's a whole other thing to be committed and to get down and dirty and to challenge one another and to fight Satan and to go through this battle with another man. And that's what we're asking. And if you choose to be a mentor, that commitment thing is a big piece. Our kids, they already see a lot of men that come in their life. Sometimes their moms have one every month. And they're used to getting the lip service of, oh, he's going to be around, or he'll buy me something, or that kind of thing. What they don't need is any more broken promises. They don't need any more men in and out. So we know it's a challenge, but to be an Ironman, you have to be committed. And if you're not committed, it'd probably be better that mentoring not be your thing, because it ends up doing more harm than good. Some of you are probably thinking, me, a mentor? I don't think so. And I go back to the beginning when me and Casey, if you knew us, those of those that do know you, I mean, there is nothing special up here. There is no formula. There was nothing we did. You just say, like Ron said when he was praying for us, you basically just say yes, you buckle your seatbelt, and you go along for the ride. And that's what we want you guys to do. And there's another program called All Pro Dads. If God's really stirring in your heart, we're hoping to get six men today to say, I'll head this up. Dick Sanborn did an awesome job of getting it going at Lafayette Park. I've done it at Bon Air. Casey's done it at Central. It's pretty easy. It's just breakfast with dads once a month, and we just need coordinators. So if that's something that's tugging on your heart, we're looking to get it in all six elementaries. If mentoring's tugging your heart, there's a little card on in the middle of the table that talks about when our next training is. Our website's on there. You can contact Michelle, actually runs Project 30. We can get you trained. If you'd like to become a mentor, you can take one of those cards. Also, if you want to star your name or circle your name on the attendance sheet, if you're interested, we'll contact you. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can just start or circle it if you're saying you want to become a mentor. But I just want to close with, I appreciate Huddle, because in the part of the handout, they always have the application part. And the reason they invited us today was mainly because of that application part. They wanted Huddle, and Kevin Butcher's challenged us many times, not to be a group that just comes and builds one another up, even though that's so important on Wednesdays at the YMCA. But he wants us to become a group that takes that out to the community. And that's why we were invited here today, is to show you ways, whether it be through All Pro Dads or Project 30 or getting more involved even at home or in your church or in your neighborhood, showing you ways that you can become an Iron Man that sharpens other people. So let's pray, and we just pray that your conversation at your table be blessed. Oh God, you are so good, and we just want to thank you for the iron that you've put in our life to sharpen Case and I. I thank you for the way that 30 years ago you thought that the two blonde, goofy kids could grow up being best friends and could sharpen one another. I thank you for the many, many men and women that you've put in our lives to help us, lead us down this path, to show us the way to go, to challenge us. And Lord, I pray for the men in this room that we become a tremendous force in our community, a movement that says, we'll stand in the gap. We'll be the iron that you've called us to be for the boys and the girls that need it so desperately. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.